If you were with us last night, you had the privilege of listening to, not only listening to Venancio's testimony and message, but also eating some tasty food from Shaman Kebab. So we're glad we could do that. I have the privilege of introducing my good friend Venancio this morning. I told him I can't pronounce his last name. I'm not going to try. He could do that for you. But just a little background history on us. We went to Cornerstone Seminary together. I was asking him last night. I couldn't remember. We were in missions class together. And I always thought it was strange because it was understandable why I was in missions class. I needed to learn how to go to the nations and about the nations. But this guy, Venancio, came because missionaries went and he was saved because of the gospel, and he had come to the Cornerstone Seminary to learn. And so I'm sitting side by side with this brother, reading about guys. He mentioned William Carey last night, and I'm thinking, this is the guy that should be teaching the class, the one that came from the nations here. And so I wanted to read this Psalm 67. We just read it. One of the books we read was Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper. If you haven't read that, I would encourage you to read it. But the title comes from this, and one of the things, and I think you'll see about Venancio, is that the gospel went to the nations, and he was made glad by it. And so I just wanted to read verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That reminds me of Venancio every time I read it. So if you would help me welcome Venancio, and we will hear from God's word from him. So if you'd come on up, Venancio. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you? I also had a very good night at Tony's house. We had good stories, and we're happy to know a bit of his family. I'm happy that I had a night at his house. So I have another brother and another friend. We had a good breakfast at Miriam's house. So it has been a good night and a good morning. To begin with, once again, I'm very honored and humbled to stand before you and share with you the word of God, which God has put on my heart, and just not because I'm an authority, but because he wants to use me as his voice. This is all you know, but the word of God is living every day. I want to take this honor too for Brentwood Bible Fellowship Church for supporting our ministry, mostly in the work of church planting. We started in 2003. We had one church with 250 members. As I speak today, that church has almost 500 members, which has reproduced itself in other three churches, Bubukwanga, which has more than 250. We have Bundibieso, which has more than 204 members. Then we have a six-month-old baby church called Bunyamwera. It started with 47 adult members. Now, in 6 months, they have 152 adult members. They started with 47 children. Right now, they have 150 children. In one church, the first church we planted in 2003, we started with supporting 150 orphanages, which is the work we are still doing, which you are really a part of it, because when you support us, you support them. But now, because of the scaling up of the church planting we are doing, we have more, 500 with us from this other three churches and the old church, which are now four churches. But out of that number, we are just helping 150. We give them, we have a strategy we are using to help them, which is the acronym of HENS, H, E, N, and S, which is health, education, nutrition, and salvation. That's the strategy. Very simple. And it is unique even in our country. Because most organizations, when they come down there, they say, oh, for us, we are going to build schools. Oh, for us, we are going to give to immune them from polio. That's what they do. They don't think of salvation, which we need the church to intervene in the life of these children, because whether you give them food, whether you give them education, if you don't give them Christ, you have not given them anything. So we supplement health, education, nutrition, and we say salvation is very important, a unique program. But as we help 150, 500 are just looking at us. So, oh, blessed are 150. So you can see the challenge. You have a population of more than 500, and you are helping only a few, but the rest are putting your eyes on you, are saying, we also need the opportunity. We also need the help you are giving 150. But we can do what we can do within our scope, because we have 2.5 million orphans in that country. So that's why we are very grateful of you for supporting this increase in the numbers you hear. Is because you are partner with us. You support us in church planting, and you support us at family level. So thank you for being a part of the coalition. Today I'm going to be speaking, since this is a missions week or missions month, I'm still on a missions. But I'm going to bring a very strange text, which is Genesis 12. The call of Abraham. I think after the sermon, maybe we are going to see a video which talks about the ministry in Uganda. Really, I would implore you to stay a little bit longer and see the video and see what I'm speaking, but see them with your own eyes there. Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, from verses 1 to 9, then we shall jump to 17, 1 to 6. Genesis 12 says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you a name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they sent out to go to the land of the Canaan, through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Then quickly, let's turn to 17, verses 1 to 6. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make you my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, once again, as we gather like this, to praise, to worship, to exalt you. Thank you for bringing members in the pew. This day is another gift from you. And we have all the reasons why we should thank you, why we should praise you, why we should exalt you. Because you have done the greatest miracle in our life, the miracle of salvation. No man or woman who, all of us who are here, deserved this. But by your grace, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf, to come our substitute. Sinners, destined for hell, you saved us, and you made us sons, adopted through Christ. Thank you, Lord. Even today, speak through me and speak to me. Speak to all of us. Give me the passion and zeal. Step into the pulpit and use me. Give me the enabling spirit to speak through me as I speak your word to your people. For your own glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are looking at the call of Abram. And I gave this sermon today a central idea, which say, God's heart for the nation is seen in his call of Abram as a missionary. When you look at Genesis 12, in the call of Abram, you see the heart of God unveiling in terms of missions. He calls Abram, and when you come to chapter 12, you need first to go back to chapter 11. Because in chapter 11, you see it is like the climax of the ego of man. Man in chapter 11 of Genesis, the nations, the tribes came together and they said, you see, we are going to live in one city. Let us make a city for our own. It's like they are getting God out of the picture. It is now us. Let us make our own city. And we built it, the Tower of Babel. And let this tower go to heaven. And they started building. That was a great act of unity in the life of humankind. They unified themselves. They started building. And as they were building, the work was progressing. Because they were in unity. But I want to tell you, when you unify yourself outside God, the disaster is coming. Because they removed God out of the picture and they were saying, let us make a city for our own. And God said, okay, let me see what you are going to do. And they started building and they were progressing. But God saw them going up. He said, okay, now a lot of wisdom in man. Let us go down and confuse them and see how the work will go on. Because man was looking at himself and was saying, there is no God. We can do anything we want the moment we unite. Unity outside God, very dangerous. And God came down, disorganized them, and they spread through the planet in different languages. But then when you come to chapter 12, we see a unique encounter. Abraham lived with his family in the town, as the Bible tells us, in the era of the Chaldeans, with his parents. He was an established man there. He was a grown-up. The Bible tells us he was 75. He was a man with a family. The Bible says his wife Sarai was there. He had a lot of possessions in Ur of the Chaldeans. He had everything. The Bible tells us he was even having possession. He had men that were with Abraham. I don't know whether they were his workers, but the Bible tells us he had everything. As you can get established yourself here. But God said, I'm going to pick on this man and use him for my great purposes. And he gets on Abraham. The life of Abraham and his call challenges me. It can challenge you even today. Abraham's journey involved the fighting battles, gaining victory over his enemies. Abraham started on a journey. But you know, verse 1, as we go back to our Bibles, I love to go back to my Bible and read the Word of God. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. This is a command. It's like the Great Commission. There was no compromise. God comes in the picture and he says, Abraham, go. It's not after a dialogue, you know, Abraham, I love you. Abraham, I've called you. You are going to be to represent me. You are going to speak this. He comes down and he says, Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house and to the land that I will show you. You see how amazing this is. He states, he has to leave his country. He has to leave his relatives. He has to leave his father's house. To where? The land that I will show you. God categorically tells Abraham what he's going to leave behind. He says, you are going to leave your father's house. You are going to come out of your father's house. You are going to leave your relatives. The city where you are established, you are going to leave it. I'm getting you out here. You are going to leave your countrymen. You are going to leave your friends. You are going to leave people who know you, your buddies, as you have been moving around with all these people. I'm going to separate you from these people. And I'm going to take you to a land. But where Abraham is going is not mentioned in the Bible. He said, I'm going to take you to a land, which is not even mentioned. When I came here in the U.S., whenever we drive around with the people, in most of your cars you have GPS and you have Google Maps. You just click and know where you are going. But by the time Abraham lived and God told him, go to a country, the unknown country, there was no GPS. And there was no Google map. It's like if God calls you today and he tells you, oh, Venancio, I'm going to take you to a land. The first thing you ask God is about, oh, maybe this church sends you to a missionary field. The first thing you want to see is to pick a map of that place and you begin to see, where will the schools be? Where will the gasoline station be? You look at some important issues, the hospital, school, and all these fire department in the case of anything, when government installation, because you want to know when you go there, are you safe? Sometimes we ask those questions is when God gives us the call. But that was not Abraham. Abraham, God called him and said, Abraham, leave. And Abraham left like as a sheep going to a slaughtering place without any question. He did not even question God, where are you taking me? To an unknown land. Like most vehicles cannot move without fuel, Abraham's journey was fueled by faith. The journey of Abraham is a journey of faith. The journey of mission is to missionary is a journey of faith. We live by faith and we walk by faith. That's what we have to be. When you go back to Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10, the Bible says about this man Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's the word of God speaking. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents. A man who was really established with a house, with running water, with electricity. But now Hebrews says he went to live in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city whose foundation is whose designer and builder is God. He knew, he trusted in God who called him. He said, now I'm going. But remember, Abraham was not a Christian by the time he was called by God. The family of Abraham was moon worshippers. They worshipped the moon. But God called Abraham from that condition. God does not call us after we have been Christians. When we are holy, God does not look at your background. When he's going to call you, he doesn't look at your ethnicity. He doesn't look at your past, your bank account, or the job you are doing. He doesn't look at your background. He just says, I love you and I love you. And I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you. You are going to do my work. Regardless of what your past is, when God is calling you to his work, when he saved us, he never first looked at our background. Because all of us, we are sinners, saved by grace. If God looks at the background of some of us, we wouldn't be saved. But he doesn't consider the background. He elected you. He chose you. He loves you. This is what in Hebrew they call it the yada love. It is a special love, agape love. That agape love is unconditional. God loves you without no strings on you. Say, oh, you'll first be, I need to see A, B, C in you so that I can love you. No, he loves you regardless of what you are. This was the call of Abraham. And now, in this chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, recounts God's call and the promise to Abraham, and Abraham's response is the pivotal event. The pivotal event is the response of Abraham. In the book of Genesis, it is the theological hinge between sin and grace. By grace that God called Abraham, regardless of what life Abraham lived, God called him and he used him. And I want to encourage you, you might be in the shoes of Abraham today as I'm speaking to you. In his call, what he was to leave behind was categorically clear. But what lay ahead of Abraham was hardly described of the details. God is telling Abraham to leave comfort of home, to go out for his benefit and for the entire world. He says, leave and go to a land. He says, I'm going, forget now the rule of the Caledonians. I want you to go out for your own benefit and for the benefit of the whole world. Because when you look at chapter 12, the first benefits is like belongs to Abraham. Because verse 2 says, I will make you, that is Abraham, that's Abraham's benefit. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. You see, the blessing first belongs to Abraham. But then it is not only to Abraham, it is beyond, because Abraham had the call and obeyed the call and went as God called him. What is God saying to Abraham here? The promise given to Abraham is shown to come true to all families of the earth. That's what the Bible says, that all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. In you shall come a Savior, Jesus Christ. In you, that's how the world is going to be blessed, all the families of the earth. Because Abraham was never here. How would the families of the earth, all the earth, be blessed through Abraham if it was not through the Messiah? The families of the earth shall be blessed, which is fulfilled when the great Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, Jesus Christ, comes through the lineage of Abraham, who becomes a blessing to those who believe in him worldwide. That's how the blessing of Abraham comes to you and me. But it took Abraham to obey the call of God and go. There were brothers and sisters hurting there. They needed to hear the gospel of Christ. And so Abraham is a great example. He was one of the greatest missionaries in the Old Testament. He never clinged on the comfort of his place, the Ur of the Chaldeans. He said, God, you have called me? He told his wife, Sarai, and he said, pack things and go. He told the people who were staying with him, pack the things and we go. And he said to Lot, pack things and go. It's like, the wife, I don't know, I'm just trying to include this in my sermon. The wife said, where are we going, honey? Because the name where they were going is not mentioned in this scripture. And it's like Abraham said, we have to go. We have a call. We have to go. The great adventure is about to begin based on a complete trust and obedience to God. That was a great adventure, going to a place you don't know. Like Miriam came to Bundibugyo, which was not on the map. That was a great adventure. It was an adventure that totally trusted into God. When you trust into God, then these things which try to work as scarecrows, you don't look at them. What is before you, you know God is there. He's going to be in front of you. In deserting his country, Abraham lost the name. You must first lose the name, and then your name will to be great. God promised Abraham, he said, I'm going to make your name great. That was one of the promises. But Abraham, he's losing the name. How is his name going to be great? He's leaving a country where he's known. He's leaving his father's house. He's leaving his relatives. It means those who will grow, who will be born after he had left, they are going to forget Abraham. They will not know him. But God is saying to Abraham, it is unless you first go, live where they know you, I will make you into a great name. Amen? And really, he made him a great name. Abraham now is called the father of faith. Even children born today in schools throughout the world, they are taught about Abraham. The word of God here, Abraham, from chapter 12 to on, you will hear about Abraham. Even you go to the New Testament, Abraham is there. Even today, we are speaking about Abraham. His name was made great. If we just remained in the Ur of the Chaldeans, how many people we know from the Ur of the Chaldeans today? Apart from Abraham, who accepted to live of God, to be obedient to God, and trusted him, and he moved. Maybe God wants to make your name great in another way, and it takes you to obey his calling and go. This is not all about crossing the borders, as he said yesterday, and the ocean is. I don't know where God is calling you. He might be calling you within even this church. You know, getting saved is not warming the chairs. It's even doing, being part of the work of God. He maybe is calling you to be an usher in the front there. That's a great calling. You know that an usher at the front door there, he knows most of the Christians who are in this church. Everybody who comes, you greet them. Some of them, you hug them. And they say, wow, what a loving church. A great ministry. Maybe your ministry is in the recording or is singing. You need to be part of what God has called you to do. You need to be part, or at least of part of this ministry. If you are in missions, you either pray, you either give, or you either go. You can do one of the three, and you are part of a calling. And that's what God is calling you and me to do. In his journey into the unknown, Abraham embraced ignorance. He became ignorant. He relinquished control and chose to live with confidence in God's promise to bless him in a new and a strange place. Abraham accepted him to be blessed in a new calling. When it matters in this text is not whether Abraham is good or bad or coward or heroic, that God pursues his design in the redemptive plan of saving the lost humanity through people like Abraham. In other words, through people like you and me. God can save his people through people like you and me. I was sharing a story with Tom when I went in Bundibugyo after the college, puffed with an undergrad degree. You know, when you are from a theological college, you want to bring these jargonies in the theological school. You come with sanctification, justification. You want to bring in a lot of big words even to the lowly people. And we were preaching on an open air gospel campaign. We poured all the theology we had in us, and we made an altar call, and nobody came. And we were saying, what is this? We have tried our best, but nobody is coming to the Lord. And so there was a stammerer, a guy who has never been even to school, not even to a kindergarten. And he said, I want also to present the gospel. And we said, what? Men from theological training have been pouring the gospel there, have been pouring theology there, and nobody came to the Lord. What are you going to do? What do you know? And the guy said, allow me to go. We said, no, you can't do it. But as we were singing, we were almost concluding, he sneaked his way and he went to the platform and he started speaking. Of course, you cannot pull him from the platform. And he started with his stammering and he said, the gospel has been preached and you have heard it, but there are only two ways. You either accept it and go to heaven, or you refuse it and you go to hell. Who are those who want to go to heaven? And everybody raised the hand and he said, can you come in front and we pray for you? A number of like 200 people who were in this congregation, everybody came in front. We were humbled. We wanted to hide ourselves. We had stopped him. We were saying, you don't know nothing. You cannot present the gospel. Even we ask you, which verse do you know in the Bible? We thought our knowledge is going to help God. God is, you cannot help God. But when he calls, he wants you to because in his calling, he wants you to be part of the mission he has left to the church. He wants you just to trust him and be obedient to him. But we had trusted in our theological training and we had not asked the Almighty God. So this is the man Abraham trusted in his God. When he was called, he did not even look back. He just said, God, you have called me, I'm going to go. But what is God promising Abraham? That is the part number one. He says, a great land, a great nation in verse 2, And what is this great nation? Israel is the great nation. And you are the believers. You are part of this great nation. What is this great name? It has to come through Christ. When you read Acts 4 verses 12 and Philippians 2 verse 9. Acts 4 verse 12, he says, there is only one name in which we got saved. There is no salvation in any other name apart from the name of Jesus Christ. So that was the great name that God was promising Abraham. Great blessing to all the peoples of the earth. The blessing that come from through Christ. Those who believe in him. You are blessed because you are now co-workers with Christ. You are brothers with Christ. And you have been adopted through Christ. What does the nations or the families of the earth mean in this text here? Who are those families? Who are those nations that are going to be blessed through Abraham? Their nation is in Uganda. Their nation is in the US. Their nation is in Ukraine. Their tribes and families in Korea, North Korea, in Spain, in China, and in Russia. They need to hear the gospel. They will be blessed. It's like even in the US here. In Genesis 12, God is repeating Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. This is what we call the creation mandate. God again is saying, Abraham, I'm going to make you great. These people wanted in 11 to become just a monolithic culture. He said, no, no, no. I made you, I created you to take rule of the whole world, even the birds, even all the creation. And therefore, he's making this. He said, Abraham, through your offspring, something has to happen. I have to take you back to the creation mandate. In the mandate, God is calling man to develop a culture which we call the Christian life, is a new culture altogether. The promise of Abraham is made to ours by faith in Christ, Peter 3, verse 25. That's why in Acts 3, verse 25, Peter cites this. You are the sons of the prophets and the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring, you hear that? In your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Peter is repeating Genesis 12. This is, the Bible doesn't say offsprings. It's not plural. It's just one offspring. That takes us back in Genesis 3:15. He say your offspring. It is a single seed. In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Galatians 3:6-8. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know you that in those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, it's not the current Israel that are sons of Abraham. We, me and you, we are sons of Abraham in faith. Though we have real Israel in the Middle East, but you and me, because we have faith in the God of Abraham, in Christ Jesus, we are the real sons of Abraham. Amen? Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. God's purpose for the world is that the blessing of Abraham, namely the salvation achieved through Jesus Christ, the seed, the offspring of Abraham, would reach to all ethnic people groups of the world. This would happen as people in each group put their faith in Christ. That is the global mission. People need to put their faith in Christ, but they need to hear the gospel. The blessing, the greatest blessing and the greatest miracle is salvation. The seed, the single seed is Christ. The scope of this blessing is the universal, worldwide work of evangelization. It means that you are the sons of Abraham through Christ. God through his son. He came down. That's what we call incarnation. Jesus came down as the greatest missionary. And therefore, he is a type of Abraham here. To come to offer you the means, the way we can go back to God. After the Garden of Eden, man sinned and we lost that fellowship with God. We lost the relationship and man became egocentric. He started saying, it is you, God, who made this. You made, you gave me the woman. The woman said, you made the snake. And all it was being transferred to God. And God came down and chose Abraham. He said, I'm going to walk with you. And I want the world to see. And you are one of my missionaries. You take this message. And I will live with you. But the Bible says that Abraham obeyed because he was looking at a city that whose architect was God himself. When we tie this with missions, the missionary task has been commanded by God to be undertaken by everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a task of all of us and no exception. As Abraham left, sometime we must leave. And we don't leave when we are leaving. I'm not looking at the distance. This can happen within your bedroom. You can share the gospel within your bedroom. Share your gospel with your partner. Ask her or him with the assurance of his faith, of his salvation. Just brainstorm and probe deeper. It's the gospel. It is there. Your children are there. Share with them the gospel. Sometimes we fear. We want them to come to church and they hear the sermon and then you ask them, did you hear that sermon? We can be and lead our own people to the gospel. We can be part of this worldwide enterprise that God has called us into. God has called me and you like he called Abraham. He was 75. How many of you here are 75? He was 75. When God wants to call you, he doesn't consider the age. It is not for younger people. It's not for the mission committee. It's not for the youth. It's not for the elders. It is for the church of Christ, regardless of age. He's calling you to go in the mission field. Your mission field begins from Jerusalem. That's what Acts 1 verse 8 says. The disciples, when they saw Jesus rise from the dead, and they started asking him, are you going to restore the kingdom now that you are back? You have conquered death, which we never believed. And Jesus said, no. It's not about now restoring the fame of Israel. It's about you are going to be my witness. Directly, he cuts their conversation, and Peter with his men, they are saying, we are going to be big men. Now that he has risen from the dead, we are going to have a kingdom. He's going to establish one. He's going to sit on the seat of David. And they say, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, no, you are going to be my witness when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, because they were living in Jerusalem. In Judea, that was the big next scope, like we have California. And then you go to Samaria, which was the other way, and then to the ends of the earth. He categorically showed them. He said, you are going to be my witness. You and me, in our faith, we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. We are not witnesses of the church. We are not witnesses of the people. We must go to the master and ask him, I want to go witness for you. Where are you sending me? You are going to be my witness when the power of the Holy Ghost come upon you. So we need that enabling power. Some of us, we are in our complacent state because we have not asked the master of the work, give me that power you promised to the disciples, that when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon them, then they will be your witnesses. it is very necessary. The power has to come first, and then it will convict your heart. That's why I'm not condemning anybody who is not going. Maybe you haven't been convicted of going. But when that conviction comes, like it came to Abraham, go, my brother, go, my sister. Because the master has promised. The power is going to come, and when you go, he said, I will be with you to the end of the earth. He is there. All of the necessary things you need, you'll find them there. Blessed in Abraham through your faith in Christ. And what is remaining? It has to obey like Abraham obeyed, regardless of the years, regardless of the comfort. What God had given him, he collected everything and he said, who is me to stay when God has said? And he moved and he went like me. I had a job at a Bible school. I had a pay, but I left everything. I went in the jungles of Bundibugyo, and there I'm serving God, and I have been blessed there. So God is calling you, my brother. Maybe he's calling you to a call of an elder, of a pastor, and maybe he's calling you to go to the Muslim community, or to your next neighbor and say hi to you. God loves you. You can begin in any form of a conversation. At the place of work where you are you really witnessing for Christ there? Don't be silent. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the call of Abraham into a missionary field challenges me. He abandoned all the comfort and he decided to go and live in a tent where there was no running water, there was no paved roads, there was nothing. But because he trusted in the God of heaven, he left and he went. It's not easy in this globalized environment. Sometime, Lord, we need to wait upon you. Mission is all about you. Speak to us and send us. Maybe, Lord, there are many areas where we can work. It can be here, it can be there, it can be across the borders. But give us the heart to listen and to your voice and go according to your call. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the missionaries that you have sent through this ministry, that they are in Chad, they are in other countries, even myself in Uganda, as they stand with us. Continue to use them for your own glory. We love you, we praise you, we exalt you. We humble ourselves before you because it is not easy to live, but it is necessary to live. In Jesus' name, amen.